consumers still not consuming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. It's the morning open. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Investors are mulling over a couple of reports that came out this morning. The government said today retail sales fell by 0.4%, second month in a row. It's not a huge drop, but it was more than expected. So where's Wall Street? Dow's down 1.8% at this hour, more than 150 points right now. The NASDAQ down about 1.5%. S&P approaching 2% down right now. Asian markets were mixed in trading today, and European stocks are lower 1 to 2%. Let's check in live with Jim Dunnigan, who's the chief investment officer over at PNC Wealth Management in Philadelphia. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Steve.
So these retail numbers, Jim, are a bit worse than analysts thought. What's with this expectation that people want to spend money?
No doubt there's a this is a speed bump in the road to recovery, and I think the consumer is showing that they're not quite ready yet to open up their wallets.
What kind of signs are we looking for down the road that'll suggest that, okay, things may be bottoming out, things are you know, there's a recovery on the way?
I think you're starting to see some improvement in the employment numbers, lower unemployment claims. Those kinds of things will start to show that the economy is rebounding. And then sooner or later, some pickup in retail sales as the consumer comes back to a more normal spending mode.
You know, Jim, Macy's this morning said it posted a wider quarterly loss. A lot of higher-end retailers can't seem to get into positive territory. How does that, or what does that mean for, you know, maybe more store closings or job losses down the road?
You're still going to see, Steve, parts of the economy continuing to contract, retailing being part of that. We're still going through that contraction within the auto sector, while you're starting to see signs of that others are then expanding. So we're in that sort of inflection point in the economy that are going to throw investors a curveball from time to time.
Certainly a lot to look forward to. Jim Dunnigan, who's the chief investment officer over at PNC in Philadelphia. Jim, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
I appreciate it. Today we learned home foreclosures in April hit another record high. RealtyTrack reports a 32% increase over the last year of defaults, auctions, and repos. What it all means for Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Billy Joe Downing has been selling homes in Colorado for 15 years. For the last three, she's been specializing in helping people at risk of foreclosure. Ask her to add up her clients.
Oh, goodness.
About 40 clients a month, and they keep multiplying.
I think there's a perception out there that it's people who, oh, they just want to get out of, you know, their own bad decision-making. That's not what we see.
She sees middle-class people who were keeping up with their payments until they lost their jobs or got hit with divorce. Rick Sharga of RealtyTrack says unemployment is just one reason foreclosure numbers are so high. But he says there's another. Banks and states delayed thousands of foreclosures to give people extra time to make payments. But now that time is up, and those foreclosures are hitting the market.
We have yet to see any state or industry moratorium that hasn't just resulted in essentially a delaying of the inevitable.
Sharga says he expects foreclosures to stay high until the job market improves and home sales rebound. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Listening to The Morning Report on Wednesday, May 13th, 2009 at marketplace.org. We've been talking about financial regulations that are being put in place to avoid the kind of financial fallout we've been seeing this last year or so. Well, we're hearing today reports that the Obama administration may be looking to change the way financial industry workers are paid. And we're not just talking about those firms that are getting government help. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The White House is considering using the powers of the Federal Reserve and the Securities and Exchange Commission for enforcement. The Fed, for example, could keep financial institutions from paying employees an amount that it thinks threatens the security of the entire economy. Think bonuses paid for short-term gains based on, say, the sale of mortgage-backed securities. Charles Elson, who directs the Center on Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware, says he's troubled by the thought of more government intervention.
frankly, the solution has to do with creating boards of directors in those organizations who are aligned with the long-term interest of the company itself, a la long-term stockholders. When the government starts setting limits, what you do is you create either a talent flight, which is not helpful, or evasion.
In an effort to halt the talent flight, reports say the Obama administration may extend these regulations to the currently unregulated world of hedge funds and private equity firms. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The French Senate is expected to pass a law today cracking down on internet piracy. People caught downloading music or movies illegally could lose their internet connection for up to a year. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard has more.
The measure is pretty radical. If passed, it will set up a new agency to monitor people's internet use. Anyone suspected of downloading material illegally will be sent a warning letter, and another if they do it again. After a third offence, the user will be cut off from the internet for up to a year. The French bill conflicts with a measure passed by the European Parliament last week that prohibited EU governments from cutting off internet access without a court order. But John Kennedy, a spokesman for the global record industry, welcomes the French move.
We think it sends a great message to the community at wide. We think in terms of online piracy, which is the scourge of the creative industries at the moment, it sends a strong deterrent and educational message.
Kennedy says Taiwan and South Korea already have similar laws, and he believes many other countries, including the US, may eventually follow suit. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
You know, today is the deadline for nations to file claims on the continental shelves extending beyond their coastlines. That includes a fierce battle for the Arctic seafloor and its potentially vast oil reserves. But the United States doesn't even have a seat at that table. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
The UN Law of the Sea governs the rights of nations to exploit resources in distant offshore seabeds, something they didn't consider worthwhile until now. Melting ice and improved offshore drilling has generated a flood of new territorial claims on seabeds from the Arctic Ocean to the South China Sea. But since the U.S. hasn't signed the treaty, it has no right to claim its share off the Alaskan coast. Mead Treadwell chairs the U.S. Arctic Research Commission.
The amount of extended continental shelf that this nation could get under Law of the Sea is perhaps equal to twice the size of California. I mean, that's a magnificent new addition to the territory of the United States on the scale of buying Alaska or the Louisiana Purchase.
With potential oil and gas reserves valued at close to $1 trillion, according to the U.S. State Department, and as countries like Russia and Denmark lay claim to the Arctic, Treadwell says the U.S. risks being left behind if Congress doesn't ratify the treaty this year. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Dick Messer has a split personality about the car. The executive director of the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles shows off a lot of gas guzzlers, but he drives something a little different. As part of Marketplace's series, The Next American Dream, we examine the automobile and the culture that Dick Messer would like to change, starting with his own ride.
The GX model Honda, that's my commuter car. That's a car that I drive on a daily basis, and it's natural gas powered. It is basically pollution-free. There's a little bit of a pollution, but nothing anywhere near what it would be if it was a car was gasoline-powered.
How difficult is it to find natural gas?
It's not difficult at all. That's a huge myth. Natural gas is anywhere from around the L.A. area, anywhere from $1.35. I filled up last night. It was $1.79.
So why is natural gas better than electric?
I have a home in Riverside, California, which is 75 miles east of here. And you can't get there. You can't get from Los Angeles to Riverside, to my house in Riverside, on one charge with an electric car right now. You can't do it.
What do you say to people who tell you that electric cars are cleaner?
My answer is they're not.
Why?
Well, you've got to take it right back from the beginning. Battery production. You got lead in your batteries. You got all kinds of toxic chemicals inside the battery. And then you got the disposal of the batteries. We're getting to the point now where some of these Priuses have been out since 2002, 2003, and their batteries are starting to go bad. What are you going to do when you get rid of the old battery pack? How's that disposed of? Well, it goes to a toxic waste dump. The other issue is the production of electricity. You know, you are running the car on electricity. It's not free energy.
What brought you to this? What brought you to driving a car, you know, that's fueled by natural gas?
This is my offset. We're a museum. We have a lot of gas-guzzling cars. I own a lot of gas-guzzling cars. I own some muscle cars. I own a 63 Lincoln Continental that I've had since new. I've got a 53 Cadillac. These cars are getting 11, 12 miles a gallon, but I only drive them maybe once a month. This is my contribution to Mother Earth, you know, and to set an example for the people that come to the Peterson. I'm saying I'm the director of the museum, and I drive a natural gas-powered Honda, and I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's a comfortable car. It's got plenty of zip. It's clean energy. The thing that's a mystery to me is why more people haven't caught on this.
Well, Dick Messer, the executive director of the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles, thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Good luck with your car.
Thank you.
Check out our Next American Dream section inside marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.